Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I come to work with two hands every day, and I'm trying to bless somebody.
We better be in Florida. It better be sunny, and there better be some sort of fruity drink involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Thursday, October 20th, and that could mean only one thing. Dalton Del Don is here for Stat Nerd Thursday, my favorite episode of the week. Dalton's also going to be here tomorrow to help me and Andy Behrens preview the weekend games. But Dalton, that's a lot of me. You're getting back-to-back, brother. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Harmon, 94% of my $6 million survivor pool has been eliminated. I remain one of the ones alive. Much of the chagrin of my family, man. My kids are like, what is going on? These aren't the Niners. Why are you going freaking out so much? But I took the Eagles on Sunday night, and it's going to come back to maybe bite me. I decided to fade the Rams, and I wish I'd used them, because who would want to use them again moving forward? Right. But we're going to talk about them immediately here with some Carolina talk. But that was ugly. But yeah, the Eagles Sunday night, and we remain alive for $6 million prize.
Oh, man, I can't wait to we'll definitely be talking about this a lot tomorrow with Andy Behrens on the preview show. Dalton, before we get into the news and our big stats of the week, I got a couple of stats here to throw your way right off the top. Update on some Dalton Del Don flamethrower takes. Saquon Barkley, currently second in the NFL in rushing yards, so that bet is looking good for you. He is basically the heart, soul, liver, kidney, blood of the Giants offense, so that's great to see. Also, update on our Gabe Davis, Mike Evans lunch bet looks promising for you, depending on the format. I guess we got to go half PPR, right? Because it's the Yahoo standard. We don't know whether we ever discussed that. I mean, we could go PPR, which is obviously God's game and the only one that Evans is currently ahead of Gabe Davis in season-long scoring. But yeah, in half PPR, wide receiver 14 for Gabe Davis, wide receiver 19 for Mike Evans. Any of the like panicking we had about Gabe Davis, or you know, any of the concerns that were out there during his ankle injury, are officially over at this point.
Yeah, I'm not going to litigate which one. If it's close at the end of the year, no worries. We'll just go to lunch and split it. But it's nice, it's fun that it's close bet. You know, looked like I was in trouble after a couple weeks, but a healthier Gabe Davis is a much more productive one. And man, Brady missing Saturday's walkthrough to attend, you know, Kraft's wedding and then chewing out his offensive line. I don't know, man. There's trouble in Tampa. You called it with the witchcraft early. You were early on this mess. So, yeah, you love to see Gabe Davis and doing work and Evans. Now, Evans will still be fine, but this should be a battle to the end.
Yeah, well, this will be the only time in human history I say this. I wish my wife had told me about what was going on TikTok like earlier, okay? I wish she would have told me about the witchcraft stuff earlier. I wish she would have informed me about what was going on TikTok. That would have been nice. I would have been even more ahead on this story and perhaps not have made the Mike Evans bet with you. Might have avoided this entire situation. Because the witchcraft, it's flowing, man. Things are going crazy there. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting one to monitor the rest of the way. Let's get into some news here. You talked about it with the Carolina stuff. The prince that was promised, baby, Sam Darnold, designated to return from IR. I mean, I'm being a little facetious here, but, you know, he keeps saying, like, it can't get worse. I think PJ Walker was kind of worse than Baker Mayfield, you know, with like in a negative air yards per attempt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carolina week had a pick six that game. They could have been as a live dog, but that offense was just prehistoric. I mean, it was the most conservative game plan you'll ever see. The passing chart for Walker is a joke. He didn't attempt a forward pass past the line of scrimmage. DJ Moore's air yardage share was 184%. DJ, I mean, it's ridiculous. There was just no air yards in the game. It was all behind the line of scrimmage. So, I mean, even there was a Jacob Eason sighting at one point. So that was just brutal. I mean, obviously Robbie Anderson was thrown out mid-game. So it was like a battle of dysfunctional franchises and Carolina came out on top. But yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold, if he's an improvement, you've got issues.
DJ Moore like kind of struggled to even remember Jacob Eason's name when, you know, kind of rattling off the quarterbacks he's caught passes from this year, because he's like, he like just got there.
DJ Moore actually had pretty good production the previous two games with Walker, and he had scored twice as many touchdowns in his career in playing indoors in like 35 fewer games. Like, he was like a sneaky DFS pick for me, and to say he fell flat on his face again, I'm out of the DJ Moore business. Season-long starting lineups, DFS trying to talk yourself into. It's ugly there in Carolina. That offense is so dysfunctional. And now Christian McCaffrey has to face the league's toughest run deep. They've allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs, the Bucs. So it's just a disaster all around in Carolina.
You think he gets traded, Christian McCaffrey? I tend to not think. I think there's like a 0% chance DJ Moore gets traded, but I think there's maybe some percentage chance that if a team, like the report was, oh, we want multiple first round picks for Christian McCaffrey, which really means like we'll settle for one. Right. And then I think even if a team came and tried to give him a bunch of like day two picks, like a multiple seconds, a third, something like that. But even then, I still tend to kind of doubt that the Panthers would take it.
I doubt it too. I'm very intently following this, though. The two teams that appear to be the favorites, maybe it's BS, but from what I've read, it appears it's the Rams and the 49ers. And I know I'm supposed to hate running backs and they don't matter. Obviously, it depends on the capital, but do the Niners even have any first rounders coming up? But dude, nope. I mean, you see, I'm a Jeff Wilson apologist, but there would be a massive upgrade CMC out of that backfield with the rest of the Niners roster. I mean, that would be a difference in that division where he ended up. I know people are going to laugh because the running backs don't matter, but the difference between Jeff Wilson and, you know, who are we going to talk about? Kyren Williams, you know, versus a healthy CMC is dramatic.
We don't need any more like pass catching eligible guys in San Francisco. Okay, we're gonna talk about that offense later, but the Rams one is interesting. I come on, man, like that would be a bit jumping the shark for the LA Rams to like, oh, we're gonna trade for CMC. That'll really help us. But I mean, I guess
do they have any capital either? I mean, they'll sell both. Yeah, I mean, they mortgage the future too. So that'd be really interesting. You're probably right. It doesn't fit. It won't work.
Yeah, I don't think it happens. Buffalo, obviously, one that's been mentioned and they've called about previously. Again, it just, I think his best, I actually think his best fantasy spot is to stay in Carolina and just rack up a bunch of like disgusting catches, basically, for Christian McCaffrey, because I'm not sure, you know, dropping him in any of these other offenses midseason would be great. But we'll monitor that story. Like I said, I don't think much of it actually comes for that whole trade, but, and definitely not DJ Moore. Your best hope if you're a DJ Moore backer is just to like forget this year ever happened and they take take a quarterback with the number one overall pick next year, and that's finally how DJ Moore gets paired with a good quarterback. Like he's not going to Kansas City in the middle of the year. You can clip this if it comes back, and I look like an idiot. I'll be willing to admit that. Next thing up here, we got some like light news stuff that I just want to run through. Texans coach Lovie Smith said Damian Pierce, quote, needs to get at least 20 carries a game. Good news, Lovie. You should be able to make that happen, dude. Damian Pierce looks awesome. Great receiving stats the last couple of weeks before his bye. I think this is just really encouraging that they're some of their younger players in Houston are trending the right direction. Obviously, Damian Pierce for sure. You know, I don't think Davis Mills is it. I think Davis Mills has left a lot of meat on the bone. But Nico Collins, I've been going back and, you know, charting some Nico Collins, looking at Nico Collins. The guy is, I think, playing well. And if he's on waiver wires, I'm sure he's out there in a lot of leagues. I wouldn't mind sticking him on the end of my bench and kind of seeing what happens as this offense maybe coalesces around a Damian Pierce-centric identity.
Yeah, my guy Davis Mills not getting it done. He's been especially brutal on the road throughout his career, so be wary of that this week. Damian Pierce, the last time we saw him, was the most tackles ever recorded in a single game by PFF. 17 missed forced tackles is what they recorded him for against the Jaguars. And this week, it could be worth noting, the Raiders have allowed the fewest EPA per rush. I don't know how real that is, but curious to see how Houston comes out. One thing I fully expect out of their bye, I should say, is Pierce is going to be the focal point of this offense moving forward.
Yeah, we often talk about this. Shout out to Hayden Winks, the post-bye rookie bump. I think Pierce could obviously, he's already looking awesome, and now he's coming out of his bye week. And, you know, I'd group a guy like Nico Collins into that, Davis Mills. Like, this is a really, really young team. And if they get a little bit better coming out of their bye week, I'm not sure they're about to like fire off and become a great team, anything like that. That's probably not going to happen. But I do think this offense could take a little bit of a step forward. And I wouldn't be surprised just based on the way things have gone for Brandon Cooks if Nico Collins is like closes that gap a little bit. I think he's a really good player, man. And he's a guy in Dynasty I'd be trying to buy before the Texans hopefully get some sort of quarterback solution in-house next year. Let's move on to the Lions, who are sort of kind of getting their guys back. DeAndre Swift is going to practice here on Wednesday as we're recording this, according to Dan Campbell. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think, should be fully ramped back up after he was basically a partial snap player, like totally on a pitch count the last time we saw the Lions when they scored 0 points against the Patriots. These guys, Swift, St. Brown, are you sticking them right back like must start territory, set it and forget it at the top of your rankings for their positions if they come back this week?
Yeah, the bye came at a great time for Detroit. I'd like to follow the practice reports, but assuming they're okay, yeah, I have Swift right there as my 15th or 16th back. And St. Brown I have ranked aggressively as well. Not a greatest matchup. Dallas defense is legit. They really get to the quarterback there, but at least Goff will be playing indoors, so that helps. And coming off the bye, so yeah, I'm firing up Swift and ARSB this week, even in a tougher matchup.
Yeah, I think the matchup is definitely tough, but this is a really good offensive line there in Detroit. That's something to note. Again, Dallas's pass rush is going to probably get the better of Goff several times. I'm sure he'll throw a pick. But nevertheless, I think that he can get the ball out quick to these two guys. I think that's going to be a big thing. I don't know.
They're not going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be playing from behind. So, yeah, I'm totally fine with both those guys. Going to see the targets. And I ranked St. Brown as my wide receiver 11. So, yeah, I'm definitely treating him. If I knew he was fully healthy, though, I'd honestly would move him right up. I could go as high as 5, especially in full PPR. He was seeing the targets like a truly elite version. So, if he's healthy, not only are you starting him each week, but he could be as good as like a top 5 type PPR guy. He had that much upside.
Yeah, I cranked him up to wide receiver 4 because I'm pretty confident in the health.
Love it.
I think
love
he's
it.
Just going to catch a ton of passes this week.
Look at you. Far more aggressive than me. I love it.
I know. What is that? I mean, come on. I gotta heat check myself on this one. All right, this is a situation to monitor here. Jaylen Waddle, according to Mike McDaniel, has said he's optimistic that Jaylen Waddle will play in week 7 against the Steelers. Waddle's battling a groin injury. He's battling shoulder injuries. McDaniels doesn't expect him to practice much early in the week ahead of Miami Sunday night game against the Steelers. But if you look at the target distribution for Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, it's actually not really close. Like, it's mostly been the Tyreek Hill show. Waddle has been making more big plays. You know, he's making a ton of big plays, like in the receiving game, through the air, and also after the catch. Like, I think he's averaging over 7 yards after the catch per reception, like, which, by the way, is what Mike McDaniel was excited about when he got to this team, was Jaylen Waddle's run after catch ability. But I think part of the target distribution, and this is not looking like a, you know, if you look at Philadelphia, that looks like a 1A and a 1B from a talent perspective and also a usage perspective between A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. In Miami, it's looking like a clear 1 and a clear 2, but I'm also like kind of asking myself how much of that has to do with the health of Jaylen Waddle, and might this be something that we need to monitor, you know, right now and maybe even like for as long as he continues to play through injuries?
Yeah, and he was battling a leg injury throughout the preseason too, and he missed a good portion. They insisted he'd be ready. Obviously, suffered that college injury as well. So, a great player, but the target distribution has definitely surprised me. This last week was just the second time all year he had eclipsed 6 targets in a game. Hill is just absolutely dominating. Worth noting, the Steelers have allowed the most fantasy points to receivers this year. Obviously, they've been dealing with a ton of injuries. And Watt, I believe last week was a first game that they won without TJ Watt. They were 0-8. But the defense definitely struggles without him. And the key here is who's playing quarterback for Miami. Tua. It looks like it's going to be hopefully Tua, and he's probably a nice upgrade over Skylar Thompson's of the world. And I don't know. It was very weird. I'm still unclear why McDaniel started Thompson over Bridgewater. Was it just maybe because they didn't want to risk him not getting cleared on a Saturday in the practice? I'm not sure what happened there. Do you have an explanation?
It sounds like, from what I've read and found the situation, that McDaniel does not want to start a quarterback unless he can get through the entire week of practice. Like, he doesn't want to, especially a backup, right? Like, maybe if it was Tua, like, you know, is limited on Wednesday, limited on Thursday, or doesn't participate Wednesday, Thursday. You know, that's one thing. But, like, if you're trying to ramp your backup up, that seems like it's been the most likely explanation, was that, like, Skylar Thompson was fully healthy. He wasn't limited in any way. Bridgewater was limited coming out of the concussion protocol, stuff like that. So I think that's probably the explanation, and it's nothing more, like, nefarious or weirder than that. And it's just, like, a coaching quirk. Like, McDaniel wanted his guy to...
Okay.
It makes sense. But right now, none of us are, you know, kind of adjusting for this from a rankings perspective. You've got him at wide receiver 8. I've got him at wide receiver 9, Jalen Waddle, but I could see myself moving him down a little bit. You know, not into like must bench territory, even if he plays, but a little more riskier, like potentially boom bust wide receiver 2. Cause you're right. The matchup is there. The Steelers have been getting ripped, especially by deep passes. Your guy, Gabe Davis, really took him to the woodshed, obviously, in that matchup earlier this season. But Waddle could get home with one or two plays, but also I wouldn't be surprised if he's, you know, it's kind of like a, like I said, very boom bust wide receiver 2 type of thing for him.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill's my number one receiver this week. Ooh, with it, a banged up Waddle, and also
me too. Same. I'm ranking like Dalton now. I'm just gonna go like balls to the wall here.
You know, scoring's down across the league, and also this week specifically, four of the 5 highest scoring fantasy players are on bye, including 2 receivers, Diggs and Kupp. So that's why we're talking. Yeah, when you're seeing these ranks, I'm looking at we're missing some potent players here. So that's why we're bumping up guys like that. But yeah, great to see these guys getting the target distribution very, very narrow. Hopefully they get healthy and actually play a full football game without their quarterback leaving mid-game, which happened already 3 times. I'm so surprised Miami didn't cover last week. The public was all over. The Vikings seemed like a sucker bet. They were playing with 40-degree. The differences on sidelines was 40 degrees difference, the sun. But the Vikings still sometimes it pays off to be square. They did cover. But I like Waddle if he's healthy, and Hill Sunday night against this matchup again. Pittsburgh has allowed the most fantasy points to opposing wideouts this year.
Pretty hilarious, man. Like what they do between the 2 sidelines there. All right, next thing up here. Ravens signed wide receiver DeSean Jackson to their practice squad. I talked a little bit about this with Andy on Monday when we, you know, got the report that he was going to work out with the Ravens. Makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, DeSean Jackson is definitely in like the mercenary part of his career. This makes like sense to come to this team. I tell you what, Dalton, like, I mean, DeSean Jackson's not going to have a ton of fantasy value, right? But he does change the way I think. Even still, he had moments with the Raiders last year after he got booted by, even had a couple moments with the Rams before he got booted there. I think he helps his team. And my God, dude, like Devin Duvernay is a nice player, but like the DeMarcus Robinson, you know, Tylan Wallace, like contingent in their receiver core, it's just giving them nothing. Okay, so, you know, DeSean Jackson's interesting. They really need to get Rashad Bateman back. This stat from Rich Rebar, I think, is really interesting. Lamar Jackson against the blitz in weeks 1 through 3, 83.3% completion percentage, 12 yards per attempt, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Last 3 weeks with, you know, an injured and then absent Rashad Bateman, 50% completion rate, 4.8 yards per attempt, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions. So I think the passing game has really, really missed a second threat beyond Mandrews. Jackson can help. And then if you're looking at, like, when Bateman's back, they've got Jackson, Duvernay's doing his thing, and they've got Mandrews there. Now that's kind of starting to look pretty good for the Ravens.
Nice bounce back spot this week too against the Browns defense, allowing the second most EPA per play. Bateman is key. There's been career is splits with Jackson, obviously missing Hollywood Brown as well. It's not been good without him off the field, and their running backs are all banged up as well. So hopefully Bateman returns healthy, and Jackson, while not a fantasy guy right away at his age, definitely can help real life for sure, taking the top off the defense like that. So absolutely a player that could help more of the NFL than fantasy, but something to pay attention to. And who knows, maybe he still has enough in him to make a, obviously it's too late for best ballers, but how old is DeSean Jackson at this stage? I know last time when he's healthy, it seemed to me like he was still making an impact, even if it was drawing flags or defensive attention.
He turns 36 on December 1st this year. It feels like he's been playing forever. Yeah, it's insane. Like DeSean Jackson been in our lives for a long time, and he's still, like I said, this is what he's, if he keeps playing, like there was the headline a couple of weeks ago, like, oh yeah, I could still, like, I still want to play. And yeah, he could go and be like a mercenary, basically come in, you know, right around now, mid-October, and do this for a contender, like for 3 more years, it feels like, because he's still got like 90%. DeSean Jackson still faster than a lot of guys out there, and teams still respect him from a coverage standpoint. So yeah,
I'm a little surprised Isaiah Likely hasn't stepped up with, you know, a big game here or there, given all the other injuries. But he's a guy stashed in deeper leagues, and I expect him to. He'll probably have an eruption game one of these weeks too.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. All right, next up here, this is from Jordan Rodriguez. She says, based on Kyren Williams' reps with the first team offense and joint practices against the Cincinnati Bengals this summer, then Sean McVay's effusive praise following those reps, I think Williams figures to have a big role when he's back. Williams has obviously been on IR since week one. We talked about this with Austin Eckler and The Miz on the last episode of this very podcast. I think Williams is, you know, if you could stash, like you could stash him on IR, you 100% should be doing that. But man, yeah, like he looks like a guy. I don't know much about Kyren Williams. I think he's an interesting player. I think it was a pretty decent college player. I know Andy Behrens has lauded his pass protection abilities. And my God, the Rams could certainly use a back that can pass protect. You know, like they have Malcolm Brown there, who's like a longtime team guy. He's been there before. I feel like Kyren Williams could potentially figure into this mix because, as I said yesterday on the show, I think he was going to run ahead of Cam Akers this year, at least the early part of the season, if he hadn't suffered this injury in week one.
Yeah, it appeared they had plans for him, and he suffered it on that special teams, the very first kickoff, I believe. And now Akers is gone, and so you absolutely need to add Williams. I mean, on the flip side, though, I don't know how much fantasy value there can be out of this backfield. It's so, so bad. I mean, at home is double-digit favorites against the Panthers. It resulted in Henderson getting 12 carries for 43 yards, you know, two catches. It's just, you know, so, but maybe Williams is the better player and he emerges as the lone back there and their schedule eases up. So he definitely should be stashed in competitive leagues, but just this upside is just so, so different than when Todd Gurley was ripping off 54 touchdowns over a 3-year stretch.
I mean, shoot, it's even different than like when Cam Akers was crushing it in his rookie year, when Daryl Henderson was crushing it in the early part of that year. It's just, I think this offense can get slightly better, you know, as Allen Robinson gels. They're going to get Van Jefferson back.
They just lost their left tackle Noteboom. I know, for the year too. I mean, it's dysfunctional. I could go the opposite way and tell you, what if Kupp got hurt? Then it's suddenly the worst offense in the entire NFL. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we knew about the Super Bowl hangover, how hurt was Stafford playing with this elbow. I don't know. And then the Akers situation is so weird. I don't know. There's just a lot of weird vibes going on in LA there. I mean, they had to do a silent count at home the other day too. It's not ideal, but they got their Super Bowl rings. So
it's all that matters. And, they just need to go like all out to try to fix this offensive line next year, however they can, pretty much, and just try to get back on track. So, I do think Kyren Williams makes for a good stash. And, you know, we just know that Daryl Henderson is a guy that can play well in certain little chapters and certain buckets of the season, but absolutely loses his job at some point. Just by injury or one way or another, it always happens.
Yep.
Last thing here. Sammy Watkins has been designated to return from IR. His 21-day practice window is open. Dalton's squinting over there on the other side of the Zoom. He's like, why the hell did Harmon put a Sammy Watkins note on this outline? I don't think Sammy Watkins is going to help this offense, but it does make, like, he might just walk out there and be a starter because, Aaron Rodgers is getting sick of Romeo Doubs. Aaron Rodgers getting sick of all the other guys out there. This offense in Green Bay stinks, man. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, Randall Cobb, number one receiver, he's out for a while, and big Bob Tonyan's getting a dozen targets. So I guess I shouldn't just scoff at the notion of Watkins stepping in and immediately making an impact, because this offense does have an opportunities. It has issues. Both running backs have been fantasy disappointments. Aaron Rodgers is struggling. Yeah, Sammy Watkins, if you're in a really deep league, but unfortunately we're already past week one. But I guess at this point, any receiver with the pulse needs to be paid attention to there. But it's definitely not going as planned in Green Bay, just like in LA, you know, two teams that have been some of the conference's best over the last few seasons.
Yeah, I mean, Lazard still performing pretty well. I feel like Lazard is kind of on that every week wide receiver three borderline there, for like a guy that you're probably breaking ties in favor of playing. But I mean, Sammy Watkins could catch those like the angsty performative deep throws that Rodgers, like, you know, if another team has a good drive against, the first thing he's going to do is come out there and rocket a deep throw to some dude who's not open. So Sammy Watkins not really getting open at this point in his career either. Sammy Watkins, like, just a little tangent here. You know, I'm like charting Romeo Doubs from earlier in the season, stuff like that. I'm like, is that Sammy Watkins over there? Like, Sammy Watkins looking a little thicker this year than maybe in years past. But anyways, nevertheless, we'll move on from that. Let's get to our stats here. Total team scoring, Dalton, is down this year. You mentioned it earlier. 23 points per game overall for the NFL on a team-by-team basis in 2021. This year, we're down to 21.6 points per game. Graham Barfield pointed out, I read this stat off to Austin Eckler yesterday, the unders have hit in 60.6% of games so far this year. I think the biggest thing is that league-wide passing has not been efficient this year. So far this year, Dalton, 88.7 passer rating, league-wide average, 4% touchdown rate, 6.8 adjusted yards per attempt. Last year, 90.8 passer rating was the league average, 4.5% touchdown rate. 0.5% for a touchdown rate does make a big difference, and 6.9 adjusted yards per attempt. So I don't know, kind of want to have a conversation about this because I think there's been a trickle down to almost all fantasy positions. We're definitely feeling at the quarterback position, as Scott and I talked about on the recap podcast. We're seeing a very different NFL this year than in years past.
I don't have an explanation at all. I mean, there's always injuries. It doesn't feel like it's overly excessive. And by the way, it's only going to get colder weather. I mean, I think that would affect the offense adversely further moving forward. So I don't have an explanation. I've been thinking about it. People say there are a lot more cover twos. I don't know. I'd love to hear yours, Harmon, because this is odd and obviously discouraging for fantasy managers. I mean, we want to see more points. But it's been under. And like I said, this week we're dealing with a ton of buys with the best fantasy players, too. So expect another low scoring one. But watching that Chiefs-Bills game last week, you know, it's like, oh, why was it so obvious? You know, Romo's like, this is going to be more of a 24-20 game. You know, that Bills defense is pretty good. And that offense without Tyreek Hill, it was like, yeah, of course, this makes sense. This game is going to be like this. So there's a couple teams, Seattle emerging, that's more of a carnival, as we like to say, with a bad defense and a good offense. But man, for the most part, it's just been ugly and low scoring throughout the league. And like I said, I have no reasoning behind it. Do you have any? Do you have one for me?
I think defenses have caught up to a certain degree. You know, I'm struggling to think whether it's like a long-term problem or just a this year problem. I think defenses are, you know, you mentioned the cover two stuff, like, that was something Austin and I talked about yesterday, was that, you know, you could feel in that game against Denver, like they were not going to give them anything downfield, and they weren't necessarily playing a lot of cover two. They were playing a lot more like, you know, they're playing a lot of like cover three overall. They're playing a lot more zone coverage, you know, that three deep look, like you're not getting anything downfield there. And then on third down, they went to a lot of like cover six looks. So, you know, which is quarters on one side of the field and you know, whatever. Anyways, don't want to get too into the weeds here, but I do think defensively there's been a league-wide response to the way teams have played offense from probably about, I don't know, 2016, 2017 to really 2020 or 2021. And now we're seeing sort of like the snapback of that, right? Like we're seeing the response from the defensive side of the football. And I wonder if maybe we're going to start to transition to a different offensive side of the, like offensive sort of, you know, response to that as well, because most teams in the NFL, you know, the whole snapback of like, oh, LeSean McVay comes to the Rams and you know, he crushes it over there, is that then most of these teams hired like a bunch of Sean McVay cronies, like Shanahan cronies and stuff like that, to the point that now defenses are trying to figure out a way to how to stop that offense and the easy buttons that quarterbacks would get in those systems. So I'm trying to figure this out live on air with you right now. And just in general, I don't know the answer. And I don't know if this is a constant or just a blip on the radar, but it is something that I think is affecting fantasy players at every level, at the quarterback position, at the wide receiver position. Like, how many sure bets do you feel are out there right now? Not very many. I mean, we're talking about Jalen Waddle as a guy earlier this year that was an every week start. Now it's like, well, the volume isn't really there. I don't know. So there's a lot of changes right now in the fantasy.
It's analytics' fault for going for it on a more too many fourth down decisions. And in all seriousness, I love how analytics has just become getting blamed for every coaching decision there is now, if it's non traditional. But hopefully it's just a blip on the radar and teams don't go back to establishing the run. But we could be headed that way. It's just cyclical, and maybe this generation is going to become more run heavy. But hopefully it's just a blip on the radar for us fantasy nerds, and we get some more passing and more points on the board. But it's definitely been a notable enough size to be like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I think also, like, if you don't want to think about it as a league-wide thing, like sort of how I just did, which is fine. I don't think that the answer could be something else, right? It could just be a small sample size. This is only the first 6 weeks of the season. And then I would suggest that, okay, quarterback play has not been good this year. And maybe that is the answer, like the individual quarterback position, you know, because we have had Lamar Jackson sort of start and slip a little bit without Rashad Bateman. We just talked, by the way, I just got a note that Rashad Bateman did returned to practice today here on Wednesday. So that's good news. Hopefully they can get him back against the Browns. But, you know, Jackson slipped a little bit. So really the only guys from like minute one to the end so far this year, it's been like Mahomes. We'll talk about him in a second. You know, some more micro stuff with him and Josh Allen, like, and obviously Jalen Hurts have played extremely well the entire season. But who, what other quarterback could you say has played extremely well throughout the entire season? You know, Dak's been hurt. Joe Burrow has struggled to respond to the way defenses are playing him. Kyler Murray's been terrible in Arizona for whatever reason. You know, Herbert has obviously been injured and you know, is, I think, really struggling right now to deal with the receivers that he's playing with. You know, beyond Mike Williams, like, these guys are not very good. So, I don't know, man. I think that the lack of passing, you know, Russ has fallen off. Aaron Rodgers has fallen off. Brady has, you know, struggled with his environment there. The curse, the witchcraft is obviously in full effect in Tampa Bay. So I don't know. My thing there is just like, we don't have a lot of quarterbacks stepping up to fill the void beyond the top four or five guys.
Yeah, we lost another superstar in Trey Lance early to injury as well.
Correct,
that hurt the quarterback position. I was going to say, did Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers both just get old at once? And I don't know. I'm done defending my guy, Russell Wilson. I went on FFL and hyped his matchup Monday night. And I believe his second half was 3 for 11 for 15 yards. I'm not sure if that's real, but that's the stats that I saw. But, I mean, that is ugly, ugly stuff there. And now he's got a messed up hamstring, too. Oh, love the Broncos giving just 2 points this week, because who in the world would back them at this point? Buy low on the Broncos against the Jets. But, yeah, I don't have – that is the answer, is the quarterbacks are not playing well. Maybe it is as simple Occam's razor as that. Mahomes lost Tyreek Hill. Yeah, and these injuries, yeah, Justin Herbert's playing with damaged rib cartilage. I don't really have an explanation for Burrow. But, yeah, the quarterbacks are struggling. It's as simple – I mean, that's where it all comes back to, down to. I mean, that is probably the best answer to it, is the quarterbacks are underperforming by a wide margin compared to expectations.
One of my guys in Discord, shout out to Ted if he's listening. He needed like 1.5 points from Russell Wilson at the end of that game to win his fantasy matchup. Sent the screenshot line like 88.64 the other team, 87.62 he had. Like I said, 1.5 points would not even 0.5, just anything more than one would have done the trick. You know, 1.3. Whatever, that would have done the trick for Russell Wilson. And they go to overtime, like, oh, buddy, you still got a chance. Nothing. Unbelievable, the Denver Broncos. So, yeah, I think this is just something we're going to have to monitor throughout the entire season. And hopefully, Dalton, we can update this in 3 weeks and maybe these quarterbacks have stepped it up. But I do sort of wonder in the back of my mind if this is sort of a changing of the guard league-wide and then we have to adjust the way we play fantasy because of it.
It's frustrating though. Trevor Lawrence has taken a step back last couple of games. Justin Fields, people are like, oh, you know, really questioning his future. Obviously Lance went down and Mac Jones went down. I mean, this is the year these guys, they're hiding Zach Wilson. They're winning, you know, despite him really. I mean, this is year also the young guys not taking the step forward at all either. So come on, man, this is the most exciting and most important position. So it's, I think that's you came up with a pretty reasonable answer, I'll say.
Yeah, and just last thing on this before we move on. I know that some of these guys' injury stuff like that, but I'm just looking at, like, the wide receiver just overall scoring. You know, you get to, like, Amari Cooper at wide – I mean, even Deebo Samuel at wide receiver 10. We'll talk about them on the other side of the ad break. Like, Deebo has not been a super consistent player, like, for the entire season, you know, especially if you take away the rushing stats. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 11, not been a super consistent player throughout the entire. Christian Kirk had, like, two absolutely dud games, gets in the box at the end of the game against the Colts last week. Like, I think I always tell people, like, you got to ride the wave at the wide receiver position. You know, if you're complaining about guys giving you dud weeks, like Mike Williams, wide receiver 17, we know he's had like huge highs and lows. Michael Pittman, I think, has had huge highs and lows. He's wide receiver 18. My guy, Mike Evans at 19, some highs and lows there. Your guy, Gabe Davis at wide receiver 14, some big highs and lows there. That might be the way wide receivers go going forward, unless we see a change in the overall passing, in the passing portfolio the rest of this year and maybe even into future years. So we love our wide receivers. I love my wide receivers more than anybody. Volatility is just the name of the game at this position. And if things don't change, you know, that's definitely going to be the case going forward.
Does it make Amari Cooper the most valuable DFS receiver? I believe he's been top 15 in four home games and like not top 100 receiver in the two road games. And this dates back to his Dallas days. I thought that had to do with playing indoors, but maybe not. I'm only halfway joking here. It doesn't really feel
to sleep in his bed. He has in his bed for whatever mattress company, Amari Cooper is working with over there. Need to get a sponsorship deal and right away.
But he remains as volatile as of any receiver, just the most predictable of when the big spikes and the busts happen so far, at least. But you're right. I mean, that's not anything new, though. Receivers have always been this way. We're just more hyper paying attention in this world. And we expect we want more consistency DFS in the DFS ages.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me about that. Yeah. So, all right, let's take a quick break, Dalton. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about your 49ers. All right, we're back. Can't have Dalton on a stat nerd show and not have a Niners segment. 49ers target share the last 2 weeks, 26.8% for Debo Samuel, 22.5% for George Kittle, 21.1% for our guy Brandon Ayuk, who is the yardage and air yards per target leader in the two-game stretch here. I want to talk about these Niners receivers because the target share, the target distribution is there. And then last week against the Falcons in a surprising loss, which I'm sure you were just so thrilled about, the raw targets, the raw volume is there. And my question to you, Dalton, if this team continues to sustain and suffer injuries on their defense, and it sucks because that defense was like one of the most fun units to watch in the entire NFL. If that unit suffers more injuries and there's more problems there, can we bank on more passing volume for these guys? Cause they're not going to be able to just like run the ball and hide behind their defense.
I wasn't shocked they dropped that game, although they typically play better the second half of those kind of a mini camp of those two East Coast games, but so many injuries there. Niners just remain hilarious. I mean, they play twice as many road games this season and have outgained every opponent this year. Every single game they've outgained their opponent, and that they're 3-3, and people consider them just, another run-of-the-mill NFC team. And that might be if they don't get healthy, because that defense was dramatically different last week. By the way, Ray-Ray McCloud and Charlie Warner dropped two passes that would have gone for 150 yards combined and two touchdowns, and they were just so easy. Just horribly changing the complexion of that game. Man, Jeff Wilson
maybe don't throw to Ray-Ray McCloud and Charlie Warner. Charlie Weasley, whoever the hell that is. I don't know who that is.
There are people criticizing Shanahan for that exact thing. Yeah, you could be the play caller, but you have to have the right players to execute it. And that's exactly a very decent point. Jeff Wilson lost a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. But I think that was more of a defense devastated indoors. The defensive touchdown the other way really resulted in a perfect outcome for fantasy managers. Typically, this Niners team's going to want to win with defense and just run the ball like crazy. They're top three or bottom three and pass straight over expectation, I believe. This week could be different, though. Forced to, as underdogs at home against the Chiefs, this is another one for possibly Jimmy G, Samuel, Ayuk, and Kittle. But moving forward, I think their game plan is going to remain very boring.
I want to hope, man. I really, really want to hope with
all
these
those
guys.
Injuries may force them, no matter what they want to do. So that's definitely possible. They've suffered a ton of injuries for yet another year in a row.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, is that if the defense does take a step back because of the injuries, that we might see a different type of game plan. And my God, these guys are so good, right? Ayuk has 320 yards on the season. Debo Samuel's a pure receiver, has 345 yards on the season. Like that gap, despite the fact the target gap is there, like, I don't know, man. These guys are like, Ayuk is playing well. Kittle has looked a little bit better since coming back from injury. Like, a guy can hope, Dalton, basically, is where I'm at.
One final stat there. Debo Samuel forced 9 missed tackles receiving last week. No other wide receiver has forced that many this season other than Cooper Kupp.
Dude, that's insane. That's insane. What a crazy player. All right, let's move on. We could talk Niners forever here. Kenyon Drake, 35.7% rushing success rate the last 2 weeks. That's the second best in the NFL. Dalton, I'm curious about this Ravens team overall. We've got a lot of injury questions, like I mentioned just a few moments ago, like Rashad Bateman back at practice. Kenyon Drake sort of taking a step ahead of J.K. Dobbins, whose knee tightened up, and that, by the way, can just happen at any moment. We had a big talk about Kenyon Drake with The Miz and Eckler yesterday, but I don't know. Kenyon Drake's is kind of a weird player. Like, he has these big games and then he'd like totally disappear. Very strange player. Gus Edwards potentially coming back for this team as well. Where do you stand right now on the Ravens backfield? Because I know the Kenyon Drake thing is like a popular talking point this week.
Yeah, I don't have a take on this at all. Just see how the injuries shake out. I mean, I was not in on Drake's big performance last week, but if Dobbins and Justice Hill are both down, obviously Drake becomes startable if he has this backfield to himself. But this is just a wait and see approach. It's very frustrating. It's just rotating, and now Gus Edwards may be back in the mix too. So I'm not overly excited what Drake has done the last couple weeks. But this is talking from someone who has been burned by Drake many, many times.
That's true. You have quite a history with Kenny Drake there. So
hate the Drake.
We shall see. You hate the Drake. That's for sure. All right. Next up here, Ken Walker, 70% of the team carries in week 6. How high is too high for Ken Walker going forward? Because, man, that guy, he looks incredible out there. I can't remember who said it, but somebody put in my Discord this morning that Ken Walker's new nickname is Semi-Chubb, because he's like he looks like Junior Nick Chubb and also doesn't get any receiving work. So love that stuff. Yeah.
That does, man, Kenneth Walker, he did look at, don't forget last week that Cardinals defense allowed the second fewest EPA per rush. He just totally took over that backfield. I think he even out-targeted DJ Dallas. This week, the Chargers had allowed the most fantasy points to opposing running back before facing Denver's league worst rushing offense. So yeah, the Chargers are the highest in pace in neutral situations too. So love this matchup, which is the highest total of the week. I ranked Walker, I think my RB8. He leads the NFL in avoided tackle rate. Yeah, he looks like an RB1 moving forward as the main feature guy in a Seattle offense that's, what, they're getting the second most yards per play on offense and allowing the third most on defense. It's a pretty good fantasy situation, even if he's not getting the targets we would like.
Do you have any concern that, Geno had his, slowest or least efficient game of the season against such a bad pass defense in Arizona?
The more I delved into that matchup, it sounded like the blitz heaviness was a kind of a bad matchup for him. But yeah, anytime you see a guy playing by far his career best football for 6 weeks and you see him, revert back, regress, it's like, yeah, what can we expect moving forward for sure? But that was very disappointing. You figured one of Tyler Lockett or Metcalf would have gone off last week and neither did. So yeah, I mean, it's something of a concern, I guess, but given his track record. But man, Kenneth Walker looks really, really good.
Yeah, Kenneth Walker, man, might be a top 10 running back rest of the season. I got to keep looking at Aaron Jones. Obviously, I've tilted about Aaron Jones a lot this year. I think I'd still rather have Aaron Jones than a guy like Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, or Damian Pierce. Or do you think I'm being too slow to adjust there?
Sorry, say that one again. Who you compare him to?
Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, Damian Pierce, the rookies basically.
Oh yeah, man, I think they're right there together for sure. Oh god, Hall looks so, those guys look so good, man, so impressive. And you want the fresh legs. It's a running back position. P&L came out with an article before pointing it out, and boy, this is a good example. Yeah, I rank all three very closely, just depending on the given matchup that week.
Yeah, and with Aaron Jones, man, he looks great. His rushing efficiency is great. They're just not giving him the ball enough, especially as a receiver. So yeah, I'm tilting about the Aaron Jones thing, obviously, but we just need him to score touchdowns. We need the Packers offense to be better, which is not going to happen. So alas,
it was just so much significantly higher without Adams, and we just haven't quite seen that as expected. I just thought he'd just get peppered with the targets more.
Yeah, it's disappointing. All right, last thing before we preview Thursday Night Football. The Chiefs are the only team in the NFL with a neutral pass rate over 60%. They're kind of first by a lot at 65.2%. The second place team is just below 59%. I believe it's Buffalo. Kansas City, also Patrick Mahomes, has faced the most dropbacks versus man coverage this year, also by a lot at 107. Teams have really adjusted how they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. Are playing so much more man coverage, where last year they were I think Mahomes might have been number one in dropbacks against zone coverage last year. Obviously some of that has to do with Tyreek Hill's absence, but I bring this up for a couple of reasons. Number one, we saw Juju have a big game against a team that's usually pretty zone heavy in Buffalo, but also their man coverage rate jumped. I saw Mina Kimes post about that, from 25% to over 50% against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I've always said this with Juju, that he is a zone beating receiver only. He doesn't beat press man coverage at all. MVS also doesn't beat man coverage. So that could be why these receivers have struggled from, the jump. I'm just kind of curious about your thoughts about the Kansas City receivers, especially Juju, who, this could be a moment to sell high. He only had 5 targets, but had a big game. And, I don't know. But at the same time, I think he has to sort of be part of their solution. And I'm just not sure that MVS is ever going to be part of their solution.
Looks like the Niners are basically tied for the 5th most zone defensive coverage this year for what it's worth. Yeah, Mahomes is just so good, and working about trying to integrate these new receivers and an aging Kelce, man. He's made Kelce just look so good, just like he's still in his prime. But yeah, he's got a tough matchup if the 49ers are healthy this week, but he might benefit from the ton of injuries and get it done. But yeah, I don't know, that receiving core, Juju did have the big fantasy game. I would maybe try to parlay that into a trade. I don't know. Yeah. He has not been as expected. And if people see that big game and expect that to be the sign of things have come, maybe it was a slower start in the new system. I would try to parlay that and to see a possible trade. I think they're going to trade off bigger outings, these receivers. MVS, you know, he had a touchdown called back last week, and Sky Moore is going to be more and more involved over the second half of the year as well.
Yeah, Sky Moore is a guy that I wanted to highlight as well, because I'm a huge fan of his, and I just think he's the clear cut. Like, if we're talking about a team, like a rookie wide receiver that's going to do nothing in the first half of the year and make a huge impact in the second half of the year, very much like Amon-Ra St. Brown-ish, I think Sky Moore has to be that guy, right? Like, that's at least my read on the situation, because I'm such a big fan of his. And the playing time for Sky Moore is up a little bit, for sure. And you just look at, like, targets per route run. He's up there at 22%. When he's been on the field, they have gone his way. You know, 28.4% routes per team dropback the last 2 weeks. And Mecole Hardman's down there at 45.3%. You know, I could see, and Mecole Hardman, weirdly enough, has played more in the slot than Juju this year. Juju is like a 38.6% slot player. Sky Moore has been a 47.6% slot player when he's been out there. Mecole Hardman, 58.5% slot player the last 2 weeks at least. So I wonder if Sky Moore is going to be their slot, if Juju can be their slot, but it does seem like Mecole Hardman's the guy they're going to start to kind of minimalize, and then they're going to play Sky Moore more. You know, it's funny. I don't know why people are all up in arms about, like, oh, Sky Moore's not playing. Bad sign. It's like, they paid, even if you don't agree with the contracts, they paid big money for MVS. They paid big money for Juju to, reasonable money for Juju to come in there. It's no surprise, like, veteran deference has been the name of the game through the first couple weeks here for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, injuries will strike. That was a season high in routes run last week for the rookie Moore. And yeah, Mecole Hardman ain't it. So it might even look obvious in hindsight once Moore does emerge in the second half. Yeah, because it's just kind of there for the taking. That wide receiver group is weak. The team passing a ton. Patrick Mahomes, Kelce, you know, getting up there in age. They can't run the ball. So yeah, I think it's really right there. And it could be Sky Moore is the obvious answer, is like a difference maker that's just sitting out there in a ton of waiver wires.
I think he's their best man coverage beating receiver when he gets in there. Like I said, Juju Smith-Schuster, never been a man beater. MVS, not a consistent man beater. I mean, maybe down the field, maybe on nine routes, but even then, not really. Yeah, so give me Sky Moore as a guy who makes a big impact the rest of the way. We'll see. Hopefully. I mean, my guy.
Rostered in 9% of Yahoo leagues.
Yeah, rostered in 100% of my dynasty league. So I'm definitely hoping that Sky Moore has that big game at some point, and we can buy in the rest of the season. All right. Let's talk about Thursday Night Football here, Dalton. We got Saints at Cardinals. Weird game, man, because of all the injuries on both sides.
Yeah, a ton of injuries for sure. It's frankly, there's going to be more clarity by the time this airs. But who's starting at quarterback for the Saints? Kyler Murray, that's just off to such slow starts, just kind of a disaster. Alvin Kamara, where are the touchdowns? All the touches, they've got to be coming. But even the backfield situation in Arizona is unclear. My guy, Benjamin definitely got the touches, but it did not result in a very good fantasy game when he took over the backfield last week. Do you have any thoughts here? I like Olave. What's your angle here, Harmon?
I mean, Alvin Kamara still doesn't have a goal line touch this year, wow, which is crazy, because like Mark Ingram's got him, you know, even Latavius Murray, who's currently playing for the Denver Broncos, he's got him, and obviously, wow, Taysom Hill has been a goal line siphon.
No, he
there.
Had only had one carry inside the five, Taysom Hill.
Oh, yeah,
last
that's
week.
True. That's true. Yeah, well, yeah, that's one more than Alvin Kamara.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? So, it's weird. But this game just very strange to me because there's so much change, too, you know, on the Cardinals side of it. You know, Benjamin's got an injury now as well, right? I don't even know what their running back situation is going to look like. We have no idea. And this passing offense without Marquise Brown, dude, I mean, obviously we get DeAndre Hopkins back. That's great. But Marquise Brown have been playing awesome. Like, I think people still underrate just how good of a receiver Marquise Brown is. Very good zone coverage beating receiver, short, deep, and intermediate. They'd really been kind of more using him sort of in the short and intermediate areas and really vertically down the field. I mean, the Cardinals haven't gotten anything down the field going. That's kind of my big question too. Like, does DeAndre Hopkins coming back, you know, Hopkins last year wasn't a big volume receiver. He mostly lived on touchdowns, but how is Hopkins not just going to draw like 10 targets every single week in this passing offense? And are any of them going to come down the field? Cause the offensive line hasn't played well. And they just put a starting guard, Justin Pugh, on IR. He's out for the season. Rodney Hudson's been dealing with injuries. Like, I don't know that. I mean, shoot, Robbie Anderson coming in and drawing coverage ain't going to save this offense. That's for sure.
Yeah, maybe Hopkins can. Murray does have huge splits with him on and off the field. But yeah, Hollywood Brown, obviously a big loss. He was just eating all the targets. Unfortunate, too, toward the end of that game when the outcome had already been decided, yeah, too, when he suffered the injury. Yeah, injuries on both these teams, but Hopkins, you're definitely firing up immediately. I mean, remember, he was suspended, not coming off an injury, so hopefully he plays all the snaps he can handle immediately. And then on the other flip side, it looks like the only last man standing is Olave. Hopefully he gets cleared from his concussion missed
last
week. Sounds
like he's going to play.
No Michael Thomas, no Jarvis Landry, it sounds like, or at least are highly questionable to play. Olave leads the NFL in air yards. Nice matchup indoors, should see a ton of targets. But yeah, we'll see who's throwing him the football even. So yeah, that remains unclear who's starting at quarterback for New Orleans.
Yeah, a lot of stuff up in the air. I think Chris Olave said he's going to play. I feel like Andy Dalton's probably the guy that's going to roll out there at quarterback. They just have an injury to Andrews Pete now. I mean, you look at the entire Saints roster. Everybody is banged up. I mean, Marshawn Lattimore on the other side for DeAndre Hopkins. He missed last week's game. Like, there's just so many injury questions for the Saints. We really have no idea. And I mean, yeah, the only guys we care about, you're playing Alvin Kamara. Hopefully the usage turns around. I mean, Ken Walker obviously just diced these guys up on the other side. And, you know, I think that at some point Kamara is going to have a big game, right? 109 yards from scrimmage per game this year. This should be the week. I feel like he makes a good sense as like your core single game DFS guy, Alvin Kamara. Like at some point he's got to get in the end zone. This should be the week to do it.
Yeah, you prefer Andy Dalton's start, but you're going with him either way in this matchup and given all the injuries. So you're using Kamara, and then I was going to say Taysom Hill, 20, his salary is 21, five more than Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz is just eating the targets. I think I have him as my third ranked tight end this week. And yeah, Hill, I get it. He blows up some of these games, and they kept him in the game plan last week too. But man, his floor remains low as a guy who's, not getting the carries he's getting aren't even at the goal line, but he makes it work, you know, at times. But Zach Ertz is the safer play, especially $5 cheaper.
Oh, for sure. Definitely the safer play. I mean, Zach Ertz has been, do you think Zach Ertz like outlook changes at all with DeAndre Hopkins coming back, or the fact they have no Marquise Brown now? I think just it solidifies Ertz too.
Yeah, it might hurt a little bit, but this team can't run the ball, and he'll just get a ton of targets still. I mean, yeah, I mean, a healthier Rondell Moore than Hopkins, but Hollywood's out now. So no, I expect, and Trey McBride, has he been like healthy scratch? I thought he would be a problem the second half of the year, but it looks like he's a ways away. So they just cannot draft pass catchers. So yeah, Ertz is
They keep trying. God bless them. They keep trying, man. So many resources at pass catcher this team has spent. And
Robbie Anderson now.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson. So Robbie Anderson, Rondell Moore. I don't think Robbie Anderson's going to play a ton of this game. I don't think you can play. I don't think he's like a guy that you should play this week. Maybe he roasts me for that, but whatever. Point is, I feel pretty good about Rondell Moore. 95.5% routes per dropback the last 2 weeks. He's gone after playing on the perimeter in his first game, which is not good. You want him in the slot. 81.1% of his snaps in the slot the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's gone back to that like fake receiver, puny little air yards per target, 3.4 air yards per target. That stinks, but is what it is. Would you rather have Rondell Moore or Robbie Anderson the rest of the season?
Rondell Moore. Well, especially this week, Anderson, the short week, but no, still give me Moore. I think that they had plans for him whenever he is healthy the last couple of years, and it's not going to be downfield stuff, but I have more confidence in Moore being already, you know, accustomed to that system than Anderson trying to pick it up midway through.
This is going to be a weird game, man. I have no idea how this one's going to play out. Just so many injuries, like we said, so many, just two strange teams so far this year, two disappointing teams so far this year. I have no idea how this one's going to go on Thursday.
And an Arizona team that's far worse at home too, weirdly. So yeah, it should be interesting.
All right. Well, there it is. Dalton, anything else from you?
No, nothing for me. We'll talk more. I get to talk to you again, right? We're doing some preview pods. So looking forward to that.
That's right. Yeah. Let's save the good stuff for Andy tomorrow. Yeah. Let's save the good stuff. All right. That's going to do it for us. You can follow Dalton on Twitter at Dalton Del Don. If you don't already, what the hell are you doing with your life? You can follow me on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. And while you're there, make yourself a better fantasy player and improve your timeline by following at Yahoo Fantasy. You will not regret it. Dalton, as he said, is going to be back tomorrow as well. Will Andy Behrens to help preview the week 7 games. Until then, we're out.